Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer. It's my privilege to serve as a minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Trish McLaughlin, who's serving as our worship associate, Christy Anderson, who will be delivering our message today, and our music director, Hal Walker.
Spinning blue-green ball, yes. Gaia, mother of everything, we walk gently across your back to come together again in this place, to remember how we can live, to remember who we are, to create how we will be. I love this poem called Poppies, written by Mary Oliver. And I feel it's very appropriate for today because where I grew up in England, poppies were used as the flower to symbolize those who died giving up their lives in the wars. The poppies send up their orange flares, swaying in the wind. Their congregations are a levitation of bright dust, of thin and lacy leaves. There isn't a place in this world that doesn't sooner or later drown in the indigos of darkness. But now, for a while, the roughage shines like a miracle as it floats above everything with its yellow hair. Of course, nothing stops the cold, black, curved blade from hooking forward. Of course, loss is the great lesson. But I also say this, that light is an invitation to happiness, and that happiness, when done right, is a kind of holiness, palpable and redemptive. Inside the bright fields, touched by their rough and spongy gold, I am washed and washed in the river of earthly delight. And what are you going to do? What can you do about it, deep blue night?
A Memorial Day reflection by the Reverend Wayne Arneson. We enter into this season of Memorial Day surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. We remember, first of all, the women and men who are currently serving in the armed forces, and we pray for their safe return. We also acknowledge that there are women and men who will not return. We grieve their losses daily in the paper. We pause to honor their sacrifice and their service. We also pause this hour to give thanks to all the men and women who have served in the nation's armed forces throughout our country's history. Those who have not served cannot fully imagine the experience of war, but we do know the aftermath of war and the toll that it can take on the human heart. This day remembers and acknowledges loss, and so do we remember those whom we have loved and lost. We hold their names in our minds and our hearts. We recall the gifts they have given to us through the strength of their being, the depth of their love, the courage of their dying, and the fullness of their living. In the holy quiet of this hour, their names surround us, and they live with us in blessed memory. May we remain together now in silence as a tribute to all they have meant to us. And I invite you to join with me now in the spirit of prayer with a meditation by David Pyle. I wanted to bring the words of the chaplains, the Unitarian Universalist chaplains who are serving in our nation's armed forces into our service this morning. There are 9 men and women serving as chaplains in the Navy, Air Force, and Army for the Unitarian Universalists. David Pyle is one of them. This is his meditation on brokenness. The world breaks everyone, and afterward, many are stronger in the broken places. Ernest Hemingway. No one survives this world without wounds and pains, without loss and grief. No one walks this earth without failure, without falling, without being less than they might have been. And yet, our ability to break keeps us alive. Our capacity to admit when we are hurt, when we're afraid, when we have lost something precious, and when we have lost hope, gives us the opportunity to become stronger. Unlike our bones when we're physically hurt, our souls and spirits grow stronger than they were before the injury. Painful places become powerful. Empty places become full. We achieve this healing not through a miracle, but by sharing our pain, anguish, and hurt with one another. We tell each other our stories, just as warriors have after battles for thousands of years. We tell of how we miss those who are gone, of how we regret the places where we failed, of how we were afraid. We remember lost comrades, we remember lost hopes, we remember dreams that seem far away. Through that sharing, we learn that we are not alone. Our failures and wounds bind us together in ways no success ever can. A failure shared is no longer lonely. A loss shared is something precious found again. A pain shared is pain eased. In sharing with one another, we become strong in the broken places. May it be so, and amen.
Sunday, Lois Weir and I shared information from a survey sponsored by the Sunday Program Committee, the group devoted to coordinating worship services in the absence of the minister. The survey was completed by 126 congregation friends and members. The first part revealed the diverse theological profile of the congregation. The insert in today's order of service contains the results of one of the questions we explored last week. At the time, the theological definitions had been omitted from the insert, and as promised, they've been included today for your information. Last week, we also examined our varied beliefs about topics such as the concept of a separate human consciousness, immortality, and prayer. We offer now a glimpse of the unique strands which comprise the rich tapestry of this congregation, with a small sample of the many thought-provoking and honest comments shared on the survey.
I believe that the forces and laws of the universe center around chaos and complexity. Though this idea is disturbing to most, I find it incredibly holistic and strangely comforting. A strong celebration of the arts is another reason I attend the UU Church, be it the art hanging in the sanctuary, John Cluth's drawing circle during coffee hour, or the fresh artwork on each program. Much of what is sacred to me is my vision and creative thinking.
Attending Sunday worship in our sacred place and space is most meaningful to me. I love the understated but lovely symbols of dove, anchor, lamb, and crown that grace our windows. I'm so glad to see the artwork that hangs near us as we worship. The opportunity to be amongst our people inspires me and gives me courage.
I feel the physical blahness of the sanctuary detracts from total experience. Color and art are needed behind the pulpit, or something inspirational of visual interest.
I go to church to worship God and get guidance and inspiration to be a better human being. It's difficult for me being part of a community in which the main focus is on community, not spirituality. I'm not a Christian, so I don't feel I belong in either Unitarian or Christian churches. I would like to identify a group of people who would like to pray and worship together, even if we don't all believe exactly the same thing.
Less lay-led services would be better. I would also like to have a more spiritual experience during worship service. Sometimes it feels too much like a classroom experience and not inspiring as much as it is factual. Oddly enough, data isn't always inspirational to me. I need more sense of wonder. The magic emotional feeling is often lacking in our tradition.
I attend because it is a peaceful time for me, but socially it makes me very anxious. I've been able to focus on the peace and music and lessons and not worry about anything else. I enjoy coming to church and will make it a spiritual home for my children in the upcoming years because of the many wonderful things about it. But in many ways, I still don't feel part of a community.
I have found a good spiritual home in this UU church. I would love to hear more about the Christian traditions from a liberal perspective. Our church needs to look at and present the Christian traditions more in services because they are so culturally important as well as misrepresented in the media. This is a hard topic because many members do not want to hear about or have anything to do with the Christian faith.
There seems to be a movement in the UU community toward more religiosity, prayer, and revisiting Christian traditions. This is not really appealing to me personally, but will not keep me from attending if it stays at the current level. If this movement gets stronger, though, I will probably stop attending. If I wanted to go to a Christian church, I would do so. I chose the UU church because it is not specifically Christian.
I find myself drawn to cycles of nature and cycles of life, as well as interest in learning more about indigenous beliefs of the people who specifically lived in the land of the Cuyahoga. I really enjoy the community of the church and find myself wanting to become more involved as time goes by. I like what opportunities there are for people of varied traditions. I guess the only thing that I'd say is lacking is some sort of element of the mystical or magical, but I very well understand that such a thing may not appeal to the greater community. In our dance of tension between our differing needs and expressions of the sacred, let us heed the words of our song of affirmation. Please rise in body or in spirit and join in singing hymn number 360, Here We Have Gathered.
Religion is an expression of human curiosity and our urge to make meaning. Our curiosity as a church body is engaged through communal opportunities for growth, through Sunday worship, and structured activities and classes outside of worship. Today, we will examine our worship practices and adult learning opportunities. We'll first examine questions about adult religious programming, which is the area that includes learning activities such as adult RE, Vespers, Food for Thought, and the various classes offered by Reverend Melissa. Besides worship, does the church offer classes and activities that meet your spiritual needs? The overall responses are more positive than negative, but only one-third of the group felt that adult programming opportunities met their need often. Obviously, there is room for improvement here. Check the areas where you would like to see more adult religious programming outside of worship. The top two responses are theological and spiritual, which both far surpassed the other responses. Notice the rankings of the Abrahamic religions at the bottom of the list. In the case of Christian and Jewish rankings, this doesn't necessarily represent an attitude of disinterest toward these options. It may simply reflect the fact that the church offers a sufficient number of these options. Classes have been held on interpreting the Bible, reclaiming your religious past, and the annual Jewish Seder meal, which have all had good attendance. Many comments were offered on the survey that reveal additional areas of educational interest. Additional topics mentioned include coming of age for adults, interpretation of mystical experiences, including the work of Joseph Campbell, deeper delving into the Bible, Earth as a spiritual practice, but without a European pagan emphasis, comparative religious traditions, programming that is more attractive to men, and programming focused on older adults. Other suggestions included field trips, bringing in outside speakers, developing ways to learn from one another, and a communal approach with less leadership and more group sharing. The information from this question will help Reverend Melissa and the adult RE planners develop programming. I would also like to note that comments cited in the survey expressing a desire for greater bonding within the church community have been taken to heart. Reverend Melissa and the Hospitality Group are developing an overhaul to our church's hospitality efforts, in part as a result of the survey comments. I want to thank everyone who responded to the survey and assure you that this was more than an academic exercise. We now move on to an examination of our worship preferences. We come here for worship for varied reasons. Which of the following reasons for attending worship services are important to you? Almost half of the respondents cited the sense of belonging and affirming community or religious identity as one of their top three reasons for attending. Notice that many of the choices selected pertain to the desire for a sense of community. In addition, two responses of a more inward nature, personal reflection and meditation, and intellectual stimulation, were selected often, as well as hearing, playing, and singing music, which can involve both a communal and a personal experience. This same question appeared on a survey of this congregation conducted in 2004. 8 years ago, intellectual stimulation and hearing playing music were the top two responses. It appears that today the social bonding aspects of attending worship are of greater importance. One question in the survey inquired about the importance of specific components of our worship service. Overwhelmingly, 94% indicated that the sermon is the most important part of the worship service. The second highest was instrumental and vocal music, with a rating of 87% as very important. Interestingly, coffee hour ranked higher in importance than the prayer offered following the period of silence, which further illustrates our strong need for a sense of community or coffee. Next, let us examine topics of our worship services. How well do our worship services address the following categories? The orange, which is hard to see, but the orange is the darker color, indicates that respondents would like to see more services addressing those particular topics. As you can see, almost half of the respondents would like to see more services about Eastern religious traditions. This level of interest is followed by humanist, theological, spiritual, and earth-centered topics. Notice the topic of social justice, and that most respondents do not feel the need for increasing attention to social justice beyond what it receives now during worship. This indicates that respondents feel that the amount we discuss social justice currently is appropriate. However, social justice ranked fourth in interest for adult classes. The opposite pattern was seen with Eastern religion, which ranked fairly low on interest for educational classes, but very high as a topic for worship. The blue lines, which are the lighter lines, represent those who indicate that they would like to see fewer services addressing this topic. Notice at the bottom that the topics of Judaism and Christianity have about an equal number of people who want to see these topics more often and those who want to see the topics less often. The length of time that survey respondents have attended this church makes a difference in their worship interests. People who've attended the church for 9 years or less prefer more Eastern theological, spiritual, earth-centered, Islamic, and Jewish topics, whereas those who have attended 20 years and over would rather see fewer spiritual, Islamic, Jewish, pastoral, earth-centered, and Christian services. This group would prefer more humanist topics. These differing interests pose no problem for the formation of educational classes, as people who are interested can voluntarily attend. But addressing these conflicting interests is more of a challenge when crafting a worship service, the heart of our religious life for most active members. When confronted with the diversity and contradictions of these responses, it's obvious that we cannot expect worship leaders to meet the needs for each person every week. To whom do we cater? The women, as they're the majority? The people who attend infrequently in order to attract them? The members who've attended the longest, as they have sustained the church and have invested more into it? Or the younger adults, who are our future? Obviously, for those who are spiritual seekers and those who wish intellectual stimulation, we must continue to offer a variety of worship and adult programming on spiritual practices and religious and humanist topics. These opportunities have been greatly expanded in recent years, but as the survey indicates, congregation members cited many areas of interest that are yet untapped. We can foster a sense of inclusion by helping people connect with others having similar interests through the formation of more affinity groups. A wonderful feature of this church is that activities and events can be easily initiated at the grassroots level. The survey results help shed light on the number of people who indicated particular interests that might serve as a foundation for the forming of spiritual or theological affinity groups. Summaries from the survey will be made available on the church website shortly for those wanting more details. Don't be afraid to step forward and try to organize a group of like-minded people. Maintaining a sense of inclusion within our worship service is more challenging. We all feel out of step with the congregation sometimes, perhaps due to a worship service theme that doesn't resonate with us, or a ritual that is not as satisfying for us as it appears for others. Embodying our theological differences can cause discomfort. We must acknowledge the reality that some people choose not to attend a particular worship service because of the subject matter, which could be humanist, Jewish, pagan, or a multitude of other traditions. Last summer, I offered a worship service exploring different types of neo-pagan groups, and the service was not highly attended. After the service, someone mentioned that when she saw the topic, she'd intended to skip the service, but forgot. Yet she was glad that she had attended. I appreciated the honesty. I've done this in the past. I've reviewed the lay-led services listed in the newsletter, for the purpose of deciding whether I was going to attend. Now, however, I try to practice disciplined discomfort by attending regularly. Often I've been moved or have learned from services that I didn't expect to hold appeal. Still, not all services resonate with me. Attending UU worship requires patience. Part of the nature of the diversity of this church is the fact that each of us can expect to take turns being on the margin with regard to worship themes. We accept this as part of the cost of our religious freedom. Our practice of religious freedom couldn't exist if it were not for the fact that we are a curious people. As Unitarian Universalists, we approach life with reverence and experience learning through the lens of curiosity for the sheer delight of personal growth. Through shared worship, we exercise our sense of curiosity. By doing so, we open ourselves up to surprise, which prompts stretching. Reverend Melissa challenges us during worship to stretch our feelings. As an example, she recently asked us to imagine people who we don't like and then offer thoughts of loving kindness to them. The Social Justice Committee offers worship services which force us out of our comfort zone by challenging us to make a commitment to a just world. The Sunday Program Committee hopes to help us stretch theologically. We will continue to strive to offer a mix of topics and speakers through resources outside of and within our congregation. We encourage you to share ideas or lead worship with your knowledge and passion for an area such as Eastern religion, earth-centered concerns, or other topics not cited on the survey. Let us engage our curiosity and build upon the strength of our diversity to become more expansive people in the world. We each bring gifts to this congregation. We need to do a better job of asking each person, "What gifts do you bring?" If you haven't been asked, then please don't hesitate to step forward. I call upon all with an invitation to share. I call upon all with an invitation to continue learning and growing with disciplined discomfort and an openness to surprise. May we practice our belief in the virtue of diversity. May it be so, and amen.
Will the ushers please come forward? We've heard today about many of the ways in which we differ. One of the areas that we have in common in this congregation, those of us who call this place home, is the commitment we make to our ministries. Everything that we do and everything that we are exists because of the ways in which we give to support the ministries of this congregation with our time, our talent, and our treasure. This year, as we conducted our annual stewardship campaign, you responded so generously that we have had the most successful campaign that we've had in years. And as a result, we have been able to fulfill a goal that we've been working toward for no less than 5 years intentionally, which is to pay our full fair share in our annual program fund dues to the Ohio Meadville District and the Unitarian Universalist Association. This is a tremendous accomplishment and one of which we can all be proud. We have a very special coffee hour this morning to thank you for your generosity in helping us achieve our goals. Today we have the opportunity to celebrate perhaps the only uniquely Unitarian Universalist ritual. It is the flower ceremony. The flower ceremony was created in 1923 in Prague, Czechoslovakia, by the Reverend Norbert Čapek. He was the minister of the Unitarian Church in Prague, which, by the way, was one of the largest Unitarian congregations at the time with over 2,000 members. Chapek wanted to create a ritual that would bind all the members of the congregation together. Many of them had formerly been Christian and were at a place in their own faith formation where they did not respond positively to many of the Christian symbols and rituals and traditions. And so he wanted to create something that would be entirely new for people to embrace together. And so he asked folks one day early in June to bring a flower to church from their gardens, from the side of the road, a single cut flower that appealed to them. When they came to church, they put all of their flowers together in vases such as these. And Chapek asked the people to notice how individually each flower is beautiful, but together they make a riot of color and beauty that is even more beautiful than any single flower alone. He hoped that people would see themselves as beautiful individuals who, when joined together in religious community, become even more beautiful by the sharing and the connection. When the Nazis came to power in Czechoslovakia, they found Chapek's ideas and religious beliefs to be dangerous. And so he was detained and sent to the concentration camp in Dachau, where he was eventually killed. At the time, his wife, Maja, who was also a Unitarian minister, was on a speaking tour in the United States. She did not know that her husband had been detained, nor that he had been killed until after the war was over. She came back to the United States after returning to Czechoslovakia and led a service at the Unitarian Congregation in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and she introduced the flower ceremony that Sunday. Since then, the ceremony has spread across our denomination, and now I would say almost every Unitarian Universalist congregation celebrates this flower ceremony at the end of May or early June as a way to remember our history and heritage and also remember the ties that bind us to one another. I invite you this morning to celebrate our flower ceremony.
We welcome the season, a time of gentle breezes, cleansing rains, and blossoms nodding towards the sun. Writer Charlotte Gray proclaimed, "There is no such thing as an ordinary flower. The same can be said of each person here. Each of you has extraordinary qualities, unique talents, and special essence, as symbolized by the flower you placed in the vase. And yet your unique beauty has the potential to be intensified. Each flower alone is beautiful, but as you can see, together they complement one another and create bouquets that are vibrant. Let us nurture one another through friendship and love so that we may thrive and blossom in a wellspring which will strengthen us individually as well as in community. Like the flowers in the bouquets, may we bring out the best in one another and together bless the world with our radiance. I invite you to come forward row by row in celebration of our flower ceremony. As you select a flower that appeals to you, note its unique beauty. It is a gift that someone else has brought for you. It represents the person's unique humanity and therefore deserves your kindest touch. Let us celebrate the diversity within our oneness."
We have gathered in dedication to the proposition that beneath all of our diversity, there lies a unity which binds us one to the other, to the earth, and to the stars. We've gathered in witness. Let us take our witness out into the world. Go in peace.